Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi, and welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast. I hope you're well. It's been a very busy week for me. I was at the Natural and Organic Products Expo at the beginning of the week. This is the work I do with my other hat on. Some of you know that I write books on holistic living and I run the Platinum Awards for natural products and services. So I've been part of the kind of natural health and beauty industry for, gosh, a ridiculous amount of years. And I've been going to the Natural Beauty Expo for many of them. And it's great, actually, just to kind of catch up with brands that I featured, some of the brands I featured in my very first book, which was, goodness, 17 years ago. And it's just amazing when you see some of these incredible brands that are still going, you know, brands like Weleda and amazing skincare brands that are still going years and years later. In fact, I think they're 100 years old, Willie. That's incredible. And brands like Faith in Nature coming up to 50 years. And then you've got all the new brands coming along who do, you know, natural and organic skincare and great supplements. And it was just a really exciting show. It's it feels really exciting to still be part of that world. And of course, I love it because it links really well with all the things that I'm doing now as well, because, you know, when I first came out about my sobriety, I figured the two worlds would have to stay completely separate. You know, the stuff I was doing now was not in any way relevant to the other stuff. But, you know, I now realize it's all totally connected. You know, it really is that holistic picture, because often when people stop drinking, that's when they start to realize, oh, hold on a minute, maybe I do care about what I put on my skin. You know, maybe I am interested in making sure I've got the right supplements and I'm eating decent food and, you know, and all the rest of it. So I think the two things very definitely come together. So anyways, that was the beginning of my week. And I got to interview Mary Portis, as in Queen of Shops. Just really lovely. It was a great interview. She was great. Just sharing her vision, if you like, for the future of the high street, you know, because it's a thing, isn't it? We were talking about, you know, obviously lots of the businesses there, you know, want to get their products out into the marketplace. And of course, we can go online and buy our pot of cream or our supplements or whatever. But there's also something really special about the power of community and actually being in the high street. So, you know, I think that conversation very much tips into some of the stuff that we talk about here on this podcast, and just how brilliant it is that there are places like Club Soda in the centre of London, where, you know, you can go and sample alcohol-free drinks and absolutely meet other like-minded people. There's a real benefit in having some shops, basically, you know, and having a high street. And it will be absolutely disastrous if all, you know, all businesses move out to retail parks and we've got no sense of community. So it was an interesting interview. It was a good day. It was really good to connect with that side of my work a little bit more. If you are a natural brand and, you know, if that is your thing, then check out the Platinum Awards that I run, because it's a big part of what I do. And I love, you know, I love mixing it up. And of course, if you have an alcohol free drinks brand, we've got a category for alcohol free drinks. So come on down, drop me a message. Just a quick reminder that we have our family constellations this Sunday. The Spring into Clarity Day is all sold out, but Sunday, 21st of April, we have family constellations in Hertfordshire. You know, really surprising, unusual, unique, innovative. I don't know how else to describe it, really. Come with an open mind. If you go to thesoberclub.com and click on events, you'll find all the info there for our family constellations day. Still got spaces. It'd be great to see you. And then into May, 18th and 19th, it's self-care and sobriety at Champneys in Tring. So I really hope you can make it for that retreat. All the other events and stuff I'll let you know as they get firmed up. And of course, if you're a Sober Club member, we have more online events coming up as well, our lovely motivational sessions, and the things that we do that just keep us keep us all on the right track. There's something, you know, as I've already said, so special about that sense of community and that sense of connection. It's really important. So thesoberclub.com, click on events if you want to come to one of our things, or just go to the homepage and see if you want to join us. It would be lovely to have you part of our community there. And I've written a blog post this week as well for Alcohol Change. So Alcohol Change UK, they do some amazing work. I've been going a good long time now. And I think I interviewed Richard on the podcast, gosh, must have been 3.5 years ago, long time ago. Really fascinating guy. So Alcohol Change UK do some great work. Michael, who was my guest last week, is raising money for Alcohol Change with his running. You probably heard him say on the podcast. So you can go to Happy Without the Hooch and donate to Michael's cause, which is all for Alcohol Change. But I wrote a blog post for them on why going sober is not just a celebrity trend and why it's not just a wellness trend. And this is something I talk about a lot. So I really hope you'll enjoy the blog post. You can see it at Alcohol Change. But I hope you'll enjoy it, because it shares these really quite important points, I think, that yes, it's fantastic that celebrities are going sober. It's fantastic that we can cite celebrities as, you know, being cool and choosing not to drink. Because when the sober shamers come on down and start making us feel bad, it's great to be able to say, well, you know, it's good enough for Brad Pitt, you know, Marianne Keyes and all of that. It's really great to be able to do that. But the danger is that it can be seen as, oh, it's a wellness trend. And, you know, a few of the celebs are on that path because they had to go down that route, because otherwise, you know, they were at rock bottom. And then maybe it's just a wellness trend. It's just a passing phase. But trust me, it is so much more than that. And you'll absolutely know that if you listen to this podcast. If you've been listening for a while, you'll know that I really do believe that. So we dig into that a little bit in that blog post for Alcohol Change UK. Well, I've been wanting to chat to Tawny Lara for absolutely ages. I came across, I mean, just the title of your book is just so brilliant. How can anybody like not want to go, what? Seriously? Have to talk about that. So Tawny Lara, a.k.a. the Sober Sexpert, the author of Dry Humping, a guide to dating, relating and hooking up without the booze. So Tawny, tell us a little bit about the stuff you do, and then we'll dig into the books. I know that you are co-host of a podcast as well. And we've also got a botanical drink to talk about. So there's lots going on. So just tell me, give me a little bit of your kind of background and some of the general stuff you do, and then we'll dig into the book.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much for having me here. This is, you're so lovely. I love your energy. So I quit drinking in November of 2015. And, you know, I come from a bartending party girl background. So all of my relationships began and ended in bars, whether they were friendships, hookups, long-term relationships, coworker relationships, everything happened in a bar. My whole world was in a bar. So the thought of dating, let alone hooking up without alcohol, or even catching up with friends without alcohol, like, I didn't know how to do any of my socializing without booze. And so again, this was in 2015 when, you know, we didn't have the term sober curious.
That was early days. No, exactly. And very few alcohol-free drinks at that time as well.
Very few, a couple podcasts, a couple books. It was nothing like it is today. So, you know, I was, you know, one of the people, one of the first, you know, people to really get on Instagram in search of a sober community. And I didn't do AA. I didn't do 12 steps. I got sober through yoga and meditation, and writing was a really big part, still is a really big part of my recovery. But finding a peer support group through social media was a game changer for me. And that's really where I built my brand. I built my community. I built the network of people that are now buying my book, buying my drink, listening to my podcast, and, you know, doing doing all the things. It really is because of
Yeah,
Instagram.
fantastic. That's exciting. It is amazing how, oh, well, I mean, connection is just so hugely important. But when I, you know, when I first stopped drinking, end of 2017, beginning of 2018, at that point, I literally had no idea that there was anyone else. No idea. No idea that there was a sober world out there or a sober community. And then I came across just kind of one kind of small group. And rocked up to a sober lunch or something. So terrified, I kind of walked around the car park for
Yeah.
half an hour. I said, "Oh God, these people, that you know, they're gonna, they're like, they'll hate me. I'll hate them. It's gonna be terrible." I just had no idea. And when you can tap into this amazing community, it's, oh my God, we're normal. It's okay. Yeah, it's fantastic. So anyway, well, we'll talk a bit later about the drink as well. I'm really interested in all of that, but. I just really love the fact that you've tackled this topic because, you know, it's not talked about enough. It really isn't. You know, in a lot of the work that I've done over the last few years with the Sober Club community and with the coaching work that I've done, this topic comes up in conversation, but both the relationships topic, very much so. Like, okay, so how do I date? You know, shall I tell people I'm sober? You know, so who shall I date? All of
Yeah.
that. The very big question, which again you cover in your book about what happens when one partner stops drinking, the other doesn't. That's a big one, you know, and you cover all of that, which I love. But the bit that people don't talk about much is the whole is the actual sex. Because the reality is that if, you know, for most of us, we start drinking when we're in our teens, right? You've never
Yep.
had sex sober. Never. So what a thing. Particularly if you're as old as me. And it's like, oh God, it's such a thing. And people, we don't talk about it. So the fact that you are is fantastic. So well done you for just bringing all of this stuff out. So where shall we start? Let's start with, you know, in the book you talk about the importance of loving yourself, you know, dating yourself, right? Let's start there. That has to be the best bit, right?
Yes, you know, chat like you just said, chapter one of the book is called Dating Yourself because, you know, as ev every dating book will tell you, you can't find a healthy relationship with someone else unless you have a healthy relationship with yourself. You can't find a healthy relationship with someone else unless you have a healthy relationship with yourself. Every self-help book, every dating book is going to tell you that. Where this chapter of my book is a little different is that it's finding out who you are and falling in love with who you are without alcohol.
Yeah,
That's
exactly.
the nuance here. And even I'm a person in recovery, I do not drink alcohol, but the book is written to be as accessible and inclusive as possible. So even if you're sober curious, even if you drink occasionally, this book can help you rediscover who you are without alcohol, even if you still drink alcohol. I wanted to really to reiterate that because I was surprised to learn that the majority of the people who like my work and are buying my new drink are people who still drink alcohol.
Right, that's interesting.
They're just wanting to bring more mindfulness and intentionality into their relationships.
Sure.
So one big caveat before we dive into the book, but to me, dating yourself is really, like I said, figuring out who you are without alcohol, finding hobbies, maybe reconnecting with your childhood hobbies or starting new hobbies. Because as you and I both know, when you quit drinking or you start drinking a lot less, you have a lot of extra time, right? And you need to fill that time with new rituals, new activities, new hobbies, sometimes new friendships. And finding these new hobbies and taking up these new interests can actually help you make new friends, which could, you know, ultimately, for me, I started a dating book with this chapter because for me, as someone who relied on liquid courage to feel more comfortable on dates and in the bedroom, I learned that the more confident I felt in myself, the more that I really got to know myself, I didn't rely on that liquid courage as much because I was cultivating what I call in the book is intrinsic courage. You
Sure.
know, replacing liquid courage with intrinsic courage. That's really what this book is about.
Yeah, I bet you are right. You know, we it is liquid courage that we use for all those years, and for many of us, when that's taken away, I mean, there's the whole thing of body image, of course. I mean, for many women, if they've never had sober sex, they've never engaged with, I don't know, needing to be aware really of their own body or how anyone else might be viewing it, because you know, let's we're all just drunk, you know, who cares? All inhibitions are gone. It's all of that, isn't it? And when suddenly they're not, I think that there's a this element of can that women, particularly women, I think, can feel very raw, very exposed, really not sure who they are in the early weeks of sobriety. Often we don't know who the hell we are anyway. You know, I it was like an emotional roller coaster for me.
Yeah.
Absolutely up and down, no bloody idea what was going on, literally no idea. So this is another whole other layer, and particularly if you're with a partner who is not going through the same thing. Perhaps they're still drinking. So they're wondering what on earth is going on, because literally everything has changed. But you're right, we have to start with ourselves, I suppose, first, and get that sense of authenticity, which goes a long way, right? In the early
Yeah,
weeks.
that authenticity, that really is the key word here. It's figuring out, at least for me and a lot of the people that I interviewed for this book, a lot of us put on this persona and alcohol helps us access that persona. So the goal of my book is for people to read it and no longer feel like they need to become this other person. And my goal in my work really is to just help you find real, authentic confidence, so you're no longer outsourcing it to alcohol. It's taking the easy way out. I'm not anti-alcohol by any means. I'm anti-big alcohol, and I'm anti-binge drinking culture, and I'm anti the societal norms that people think that make people think that we have to drink to quote unquote feel normal. I'm against all that, but it's not about the drink itself. It's about why we go to the drink.
Yeah, totally. And I really like the fact that, you know, later in the book, you do dig into how we can, you know, you say, as we can't, you know, n we're not going to be numbing the physical sensations, you know, the way we did with alcohol, which of course numbs everything. So how can we properly reconnect with our body and our mind? And you introduce some sort of sensory exploration and some really lovely ideas. And you even touch on the fact that brain chemistry is really messed up. You know, I mean, brain chemistry gets big time messed up when you've stopped drinking, of course. So I love the fact that you bring in some suggestions for how we can, you know, perhaps try things that might help with brain chemistry. And in fact, you've got a section in there on edible aphrodisiacs, which I thought was great. And you know, it's so interesting because I've not read anybody else who's written about Damiana, which is the meant to be an amazing aphrodisiac herb, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really interesting. So yeah, you've got some fantastic some really fantastic suggestions in the book. Although you do say, and I jotted this bit down, at the risk of sounding like a PG-13 after school special, the best sex toy is communication. And of course it is, isn't it? And
Yeah.
because when you're drinking, I mean, you know, you don't need time any communication, you just crack on with it. But when you're not, we really do need to be able to communicate what it is we want, right?
You're so right. And you know, it's there a big part of this conversation, a big part of this book is communication. Like, yes, there's definitely chapters about sex and there's sex tips, don't get me wrong. But the bigger conversation here is communication. It's boundaries. It's self-advocacy. It's knowing who you are without alcohol. It's advocating for your own pleasure. It's these big things that you don't really realize are completely intertwined with the sex that you're having or
Mm,
not having.
yeah, absolutely. It is so true. It's so true. Tell me a bit about the sober dating scene then, because I'm very grateful not to be in it. Unbelievably grateful. God, I can't begin to imagine how difficult it must be to navigate. But you've got some great tips in the book, and I noticed that you say, if you are in the dating game and you've got a profile or whatever, then say you're sober. Be upfront about that if you are.
I'm also grateful that I'm no longer dating. I spent the first 2 or 3 years of my sobriety dating, and I met my now husband. He's also sober, which is such a gift. But dating on the apps, it's sober, it's a whole thing. And it's changed so much even since I've written this book and since I've been married. Like the, you know, like I see my friends on the dating apps and I'm just like, oh wow, this is it's different. But I, you know, in the book, I outline a few different ways to approach dating when you're sober or sober curious, specifically online dating. You know, you can be very upfront, say, I don't drink, I'm in recovery, whatever feels right for you. You can wait until you have a connection with them, and maybe you guys talk on the phone a few times and then you share, or maybe you wait until you've had a few dates and then you can share with them. There's no wrong way. I think it's important to know a couple different options and then you can really figure out what feels the best for you. And also remembering that you don't owe anyone a long-winded explanation of why you don't
No,
drink.
exactly.
A simple no thank you or I don't drink or I'm not drinking tonight is fine. You don't have to go any further unless you want to, you know? And I in the book there's, you know, there's this diagram, there's this chart of like examples of oversharing and vulnerability. For that exact reason, because a lot of us when we get sober, we tend to overshare on dates. And I wanted readers to have really specific examples of what is oversharing, what's probably making your date uncomfortable, and what's an example of being vulnerable and letting someone in, showing that you trust them.
Sure. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Drinking, slightly off topic for a moment, but when we are drinking, that makes us very vulnerable. I mean, God, when you think of the risky situations we put ourselves in when we're drinking, I'm horrified actually when I think back to my younger days. God, I'm really horrified. It comes down to self-care, doesn't it? Taking a bit more care of ourselves. But I do think that I really like the idea of being upfront about it if you are dating, because I mean, we can find out very quickly if somebody really, if they only want a partner to drink with, or if that's a really big thing for them. Great idea just to find that out right away. Let's not waste any time. Do you have any other, specific tips for people who are in the early stages, and they do, or perhaps they're relatively newly single and they want to get back onto the dating scene, but now they're sober.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there is a whole chapter in the book that is full of sober date ideas. So
Because
if
you
you're
don't have to go to a bar, exactly.
Yeah, there's so many ideas, some that I came up with. A lot of them were like I asked my friends, you know, like a lot of this book is heavily sourced because I'm a journalist, you know, and it's I was not expecting an entire chapter to be full of date ideas, but that's just ha that is literally how many other things there are to do
Yeah,
besides go
that's
to a
fantastic,
bar.
isn't it? Because we never think of anything. It's always just, do you want to go out for a drink? Well, actually, no, I think I would like to go roller skating, actually.
So I think that would be my big tip is, you know, for what I did, I had to forget everything that I learned and knew about dating growing up, and I had to just kind of toss it out the window, start fresh, and figure out, okay, what do I want today in a date? What sounds like a good date to me today? Am I even ready to date to right now? You know, if And knowing this is where like boundaries and self-awareness come in. You need to know if you are actually ready to go on a date or if you're forcing yourself to go on a date. And I think it's really important to know the difference. If you're not ready, it could be really dangerous because you might put yourself in a triggering situation. Your date might order a drink and you might backslide.
Yeah, well, if
You
you're a
might,
people pleaser and you're feeling
if you're
nervous.
totally, or if the date ends up in someone's bedroom and then you freak out because you're realizing I've never done this without alcohol before. This is why, it's important to spend time dating yourself, a lot of time dating yourself before you put yourself back out there.
Yeah, I think that's such a good tip. And when I think back to, when I was young, I was really sort of looking for someone to kind of fill the missing bits of me. I was looking for a father figure, or I was looking for
Oh,
some
totally.
security, all of that. We've all been through that thing where we repeat the same patterns until we finally get it. And so much of sobriety is getting to know who we really are without the haze of the booze. And until we've got a sense of that, maybe we aren't ready. It's absolutely true. And the other interesting thing that you say in the book is the danger, in inverted commas, of sort of connecting with someone just because they're in the same sober circle as you. I mean, that I can imagine that could be a tricky one, because just because you've got something very much in common and there's a real shared passion and enthusiasm for sobriety, doesn't necessarily mean that that's someone that you would have been attracted to otherwise.
Yeah, definitely. There's a whole section in the book called like what you just described is called trauma bonding. When you have bonded with someone because of a trauma, and that's not necessarily bad, like trauma bonding isn't always a bad thing. But if when it is a bad thing, it's usually when if trauma is the only thing that you guys
That you
have in
have in common,
common.
yeah. The way drinking used to be the only thing you had in common.
Exactly. If you guys, you can meet someone in rehab or in an AA meeting and bond over a shared trauma, and a beautiful relationship can form from that. Or you can become obsessed with each other and addicted to each other, and it can become this own really toxic dynamic. So just because you've removed alcohol from the situation, that doesn't mean every relationship's going to be healthy. It's quite the opposite because for me, it was almost like sex and dating had training wheels on it forever. And then I was like, oh God, I need to learn how to do this, like actually do this.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you talk in the book about, emotional intimacy without alcohol and emotional sobriety. And, there's a whole lot most of us are, we're not very emotionally intelligent because we haven't done very much other than by the haze of booze, right? So the other piece that I'm really glad that you cover is something that for many people in my community, they've stopped drinking but their partner hasn't. And oh man, that's tough. That is tough. What are your thoughts around that? What are some of the tips that you share?
Biggest tip, if you've stopped drinking and your partner still drinks, I cannot recommend Al-Anon enough. Finding if Al-Anon is a support group for people who love someone with substance use disorder. And there's basically if you're in a relationship with an alcoholic, you cannot change them. Or whether alcoholic, substance abuse, whatever the thing is, if you're dating someone who is active in their self-destruction, that's the key here. If you're dating someone who's active in their self-destruction, you need to find a support group or read about codependency or really figure out if this is the person for you because you cannot change them. In the same way that no one could have made me stop drinking, the same way no one could have made you stop drinking, Janie, like we had to get there on our own. So you have to think about that if you're in a relationship with someone who is actively self-destructing. You have to, like, you know, put your oxygen mask on first. And you can't tell someone, you cannot say, I think you have a drinking problem. That would not have landed well with me if somebody would have told me that. But what you can say is, you know, there's a few sample conversation templates in the book on this. Like, you know, when you're drunk, I feel blank.
Yeah.
When you come home and you smell like whiskey, it makes me feel this way.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing that you can do. And if they can take that information and do what they want with it, you know, and in a perfect world, that might be a wake up call and they might decide to reevaluate their relationship with alcohol too.
Yeah.
But again, as we both know, just because you stop drinking, everything doesn't get better. It actually gets pretty bumpy. So it's tough. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. This is a really, really difficult situation, which is why there's a whole chapter dedicated to it, because it's one of the most popular questions that I get.
It is. It's so important. If someone's got together with a partner, maybe they were quite young and that was all they did together. They're drinking buddies. It's what they do. It's who they are. When one person changes and it's no longer who they are, It really is. It's about so much more than not drinking. it's literally as though you're with a different person. So it's absolutely huge. And you're absolutely right. You know, we can't change anyone else. What I have seen in some cases, you know, within my community and within some of the people I've worked with as a coach, it's been really amazing to see that they have just set their own boundaries, put their own oxygen mask on, you know, done the self-care piece, got on with what they're going to do for themselves. And their partner has just witnessed that and just sort of seen the change in them and thought, wow, I'd actually like some of that myself. And it's been amazing. And I've actually had lots of clients who've said to me, I can't believe it. My partner's also stopped now. It's amazing. So that can happen, which is wonderful. But on the other hand, I've also had clients who have discovered, you know, after a period of time that the relationship is no longer for them. And again, really tough. And again, it's something you cover in the book. And I'm really glad you cover that because, you know, as you say, we can't sugarcoat it. We have to be realistic, don't we? And sometimes relationships break up. I'm guessing that what you're going to say is that at the very least, when we come from the right perspective, we can at the very least bring a sense of, you know, we can be more amicable, we can be more compassionate when we're not drinking, right?
Absolutely. I mean, that's probably the one of the biggest things I've learned in my recovery is empathy. Because when I was sick and I was mentally unwell and I was self-medicating, I didn't have time to care about other people properly because I wasn't even taking care of myself.
Yeah.
Now I am more aware of, you know, global issues. I'm more aware of political happenings. I'm more aware of like how to show up to be a better friend, to be a better daughter, to be a better partner. I didn't know how to do any of that before because I did not know how to take care of myself on a very fundamental level. I had no idea how to take care of myself. So the people that I was attracting in my life either didn't know how to take care of themselves, or they were either subconsciously or consciously taking advantage of me, or I got into these really, really unhealthy friendships and romantic relationships, and family dynamics too. I let people take advantage of me because I didn't know my own worth. Yeah. And getting sober helped me. You know, I'm not saying everyone needs to get sober. That was my path. That helped me. But I think just even reading a book like this or going to therapy and really looking in the mirror can get you some answers.
Yeah, it really can. And I know that in the case of a couple of people that I've worked with, because they stopped drinking and they were able to sort of discover themselves, literally, sounds really corny, but they really did discover
It's
who they
true.
were. Yeah, this is amazing. And then they found that actually there was huge pushback there because their partner really did not like that new
Yeah.
empowered woman. I mean, it felt like a threat.
It really does. And it's like, I don't, you might hear like, well, you've changed. I don't like who you've become. And it's like, I'm healthy now. You don't like the,
You
like,
don't
you don't like that I'm
like the fact that
healthy.
I'm, yeah, exactly. You don't like the fact that I'm happier in who I am and I'm taking care of
Yes.
myself.
And this shows up in friendships too. One of the hardest parts of getting sober, I think, was figuring out who my real friends are versus my drinking buddies. That was painful. That was a really
Well, some
painful
have to fall
part.
by the wayside, don't they? That's the reality of
Yeah.
it. But I really like that kind of idea that the people that are going to kind of grow and blossom with you will come along, and the others will just fall away. You actually don't have to do very much. Well, I didn't. They just kind of stopped calling me.
Yeah, well, and that's how you figure out, okay, that was my drinking buddy.
Absolutely, absolutely. And really, we did nothing together other than drink anyway. There was nothing there in the relationship. They certainly weren't sort of 2 a.m. friends who'd kind of come out for you if you broke down, right?
Yeah.
That's for sure. So just sum up the book for us then, Tawny. Tell us, what we can get from it. Because I love the fact that you've covered all these different angles. It's really well written. I think it's great.
Thank you very much. And this is a really comprehensive interview. I could tell that you actually read the book. A
Yeah, I
lot of
loved it.
interviewers don't read the book. It just ha this is just part of the this is how it is. So thank you for actually reading, because you guided such a beautiful conversation. I think the only thing that we didn't bring up was that there's also a chapter about breakups. You know,
Yeah, no,
if
well, yeah, we did. We touched on that, didn't we? But just how much more amicable you can be.
Yeah. And amicable and I was just like, how can I write a book about relationships without a chapter on breakups? Because heartache is one of the most devastating states that we can be in, and I would not wish it on anybody. Heartache is truly devastating. And so I really wanted to have a chapter on that because breakups are a big cause of relapse.
Yes, I can imagine.
So I really want people to, you can do everything quote unquote right, and a relationship can still end. And that doesn't mean you that you're there's nothing wrong with, we could go o over with like, should have done this, should have done that. Sometimes relationships end, and we need to know how to take care of ourselves so we don't slip back into our self-destructive behaviors.
Absolutely. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, I think you've done a fantastic job with the book. So tell me about the alcohol-free drink. You've got a botanical beverage.
Yes, yeah, thank you. Yeah, my husband and I launched a vinegar-based botanical drink in December. It's called Parentheses because it's technically two drinks. It's a before and an after. Before dinner drink, after dinner
Oh, okay.
drink. And my husband, he also has an artisanal cooking vinegar brand, because when he, like we said in the very beginning, when you quit drinking, you have to fill up your time with new hobbies. My husband was a sommelier who quit drinking.
Oh, wow.
So he has a lot of knowledge about drinks. And he had a lot of wine that he just couldn't drink anymore. So he learned how to make vinegar, and he got really artisanal and crafty with it. So we started with the cooking vinegars called Sour Humanoid, and then our drink came out in December. But the reason I bring up the cooking vinegar is because Parentheses would not exist without Sour Humanoid. He learned how to make vinegar. He got the commercial kitchen. We're doing everything by the books the right way. And then I always wanted to have a tea line. That was my goal. When I
Ah.
quit drinking, tea was really important to me in my early recovery. My blog was called Sobriety Tea Party.
Oh, really?
And
Oh, wow.
like one of my sober goals was to have a line of herbal tea. And so this drink is really the culmination of both mine and Nick's sober hobbies, my interest in botanicals and
Yeah.
herbs, and his interest in fermentation. So Nick makes vinegar. Like I said, he gets the vinegar, he gets seaweed and he ferments it. We get vinegar and then we add the botanicals in. And the before, we use herbs that stimulate the senses, that prepare your mouth for a meal. And the after, we use herbs that can help aid in digestion and have a calming effect.
Amazing. I can't wait to try it. How fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. We're very
Great.
excited about it.
And is that sold in, you're in New York, right? Is that sold in any of the kind of sober bars, or what's the idea there?
Yeah, so it's available online. It's available in a couple non-alcoholic bottle shops. And we're getting it into it's only available in the States right now.
Yeah.
So we have diff several bars and bottle shops that are carrying our drink.
Great. So
Um, and a,
is it the scene quite big now in New York? Is
yes,
it
yes,
growing?
very much, very much. I would say it's this will actually give you an example of how much it's growing. Before the pandemic, I was actually keeping a running list of restaurants and bars in New York that have non-alcoholic drink options because there were not many.
No,
There
the
was
last time
there
I
were
came to New York, I couldn't find anything
no,
really.
there were not very many. But then after the pandemic, when things started to open up again, now everywhere, I'm not kidding, every restaurant has at least one or two drinks, but
Yeah.
usually a menu, usually
Wow. So
a
not just the
mocktail.
alcohol-free beer then, there's a few other
No.
things, yeah,
So it's
kombuchas and
usually like they have a zero proof section with a couple mocktails, a couple beer options, non-alcoholic wine,
Great. Wow. That has
yeah,
changed.
so and we have two bars now. We have two sober bars, two bottle shops, and they're just if you're curious about, if you don't live in New York and you're curious about if there is something in your area, in your neighborhood, go to zeroproofnation.com. My friend Laura Silverman created a map. It is a global
Oh,
map.
brilliant idea.
So if you're traveling, if you're looking for something in your neighborhood, if you're looking for a place near you that has bars and bottle shops with NA options,
Great.
zeroproofnation.com. Yeah.
Brilliant, brilliant. Well, I'd love to plan a trip to New York at some point, so we'll have to meet up. Be lovely
I
to
would love
do something
that.
together, and we'll serve your drinks.
Yes.
Absolutely. Oh, thank you so much. It's been great to have you as a guest, Tawny. So the book is Dry Humping: A Guide to Dating, Relating and Hooking Up Without the Booze. And I'll put that in the details in the show notes. Thanks ever so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tawny. We'll put that info in our show notes. Just a reminder then that if you want connection, if you want support on your journey, do join us in the Sober Club. It doesn't matter if you're day one or you've been sober for 15 years, it doesn't matter, because it's always about the what next. It's always about the personal growth. It's always about the sense of purpose, the creativity, the next thing that you're going to focus on. And you can do that with people cheerleading you and holding that space for you. So come on down and join us if you're interested. It's very low cost, thesoberclub.com. If you don't want to join us in the Sober Club, but you would like to support this work, then please do. You can just go to buymeacoffee.com/JanieLeeGrace and, buy me a coffee. Mine will be a flat white if we get to meet in person. That'd be even better. And of course, if you can come to one of our events, then we have Family Constellations this weekend, Sunday, 21st of April. That's in Hertfordshire, thesoberclub.com. Click on events. And then into May, 18th and 19th, self-care and sobriety retreat at Champneys, also in Hertfordshire. More coming up later in the year as well. We'll tell you about those as soon as possible. We'll also have another live podcast recording and meet up in the in a couple of months in London. So message me if that's something that you're interested in as well. Don't do this on your own. I know I say this a lot, but I really do remember what it felt like years ago when I was trying to do this on my own. I went round the block several times and really thought I'd got it. But when it's just you and that voice in your head, trust me, the voice in your head will win, and it will convince you that life, is better when you have another glass, or when you can just have one, and all of that absolute BS. You probably could have one, but why on earth would you want to? Why would you want to have any? And that's the thing. That's where you need the support. That's where you need the cheerleaders reminding you that life is so much better without alcohol. So message me, get connected, message me. I'll answer as many messages as I possibly can. Just follow me on social media at Janie Grace and get in touch. If you're interested in sober coach training, by the way, just a quick mention, because I know sometimes people do say they've heard about it through the podcast. I completely realize it's not for everyone, but if it is for you and it's something you want to add to your toolbox, or you're curious about what it might feel like to feel completely confident and equipped to support other people in their journey to ditching the booze and holistic well-being, then drop me a message. Our next training is completely sold out, but then we have another training coming up in October, but that will fill out fast. So if it's something you're interested in, you can drop me a message at Genuinely Grace, and I'll see you same time next week. Have a great week. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by the Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.